What was
You
the
guys
last
had a spot.
episode we talked about on the last BTS? We talked about the Johnsons, right?
Yeah, so we talked about Johnson. So we ended with four. So we were talking about.
So the
Did we?
one we
Did we?
haven't
Did
talked
we?
about is Scott.
We didn't know. No, I don't think we recorded Scott Lambie at the time. So maybe we start there.
Yeah.
So the one that we're going to talk about is the Scott Lambie episode five, episode six, seven. And we haven't, at the time of this recording, we haven't officially released eight.
Which is Carolyn Deck.
And we just finished recording for episode nine. Let's first talk about the
Episode.
episode that we have, then we can talk about some of the future episodes. So start with Scott Lambie. So Scott Lambie's episode is it's about his time as a former, called the development director with the African Children's Choir. That's quite an organization. So the this is during the time of Uganda Civil War. This is when African Children's Choir was founded. Again, this is exemplifies the what good can come out of something seemingly small. Good deeds can mushroom into something huge. The founder just found a kid walk on the street and say, "Hey, you need a ride," and gave him a ride back to wherever the kids needed to go. And along the way, the kid sang beautifully, and the founder thought, "Hey, you know, we could do something around this, right?" And he tried that. Now he's a multinational.
I thought what's interesting is that all the pieces have to come together for this to happen, right? For the founder to be at that right place, for that kid to sing at that right time, right? And look at that, and look what happened afterwards. So that itself, the African Children's Choir, how it got started, I did not know that. And to learn how the right timing things can happen. And then for Scott and his wife Sarah, the faith that, I mean, it was their new faith.
That's right. There's that angle.
Brand new faith into, I always said, whatever you want me to do, just don't send me to Africa. And then they sold everything to Africa. So that's pretty bold, courageous, faithful. So,
Well, of course, there are certain things that happen in their life as well, right? That their home was burned down 2 years later, I think. So maybe it's a message of make clear this path is the path.
when that happens, when the house burned down, prior to that, did they mention anything that they may have a doubt they want to come back?
I don't know. That's probably for a future interview, right? By the way, we are going to interview them again for Rescue One More, which is their new ministry working with sexually abused children in Africa, especially Uganda. So,
It's a big problem, so they're addressing
yeah,
it's not an easy
it's not an
topic.
easy topic to cover. And when they posted something, right? Is it? I mean, do you like it, or there's just not an emoji that you can associate the proper emotion, right?
Yeah, how do you say, I don't like what happened, but I'm with
I
you.
like what you're doing.
I'm with you. Maybe there should be like a peace sign. I'm with you.
You should recommend that
To
to
Apple.
Facebook. Yeah. Anyhow, so that's them. And good episode. We also, just FYI, if you ever look on our podcast page, number of views, you will see Scott Lambie's episode has like 5,000 views.
Because Larry's debut, success.
Yeah, right. A reason it shot up is I promoted it, pay promotion. There is a Google ad. If you think about it, this is a little bit advice for YouTuber that if you completely count on your own social circle, especially the founders are within their own social circle, eventually you're going to expand. Even if everybody watch it, you're going to limit to a certain sphere of connectivity. And to reach out beyond that, everybody in that network have to reshare and they have to reshare. That's a lot of commitment to reshare. Typically, that's difficult, unless something of a sort of a sensational, shocking value or that a must-know kind of information. That's when you can get that kind of viral reshare, 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 to be able to mushroom exponentially like that. How do you get outside that bubble is you have to run ads to sure. get outside your social bubble. As a new YouTuber, I experimented with Google Ads. The end result, now we know, you know, can a single campaign on one video, that's how I do my tests.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to get something like 5,000 views and about 100 subscribers, which means the content is decent and advertisement works. So it's
resonating with people.
Yeah, it's just, it's not waste money, right? Mm-hmm. So we're queuing up all the videos into a batch, about 10. I'll run another campaign. Every video in the channel is going to get publicized.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it resonates with more people. Different content has different group of people that might be interested.
I also ran using SEO, search engine optimization, to help us index using the correct keywords to help Google's algorithm to index
find it.
And be able to find it. You will also begin to see in our video, if you have seen it before, watch it again toward the end. Now we have what they call end cards that will index. This is something that James brought up at our last business meeting. He said, hey, you know, at the end, you can like select, and you can select, and I have one that's always pointing back to our channel, and one point to a related episode
mm-hmm.
or the next episode.
Yep.
Usually. So that's something that's new, and we're learning it as it goes. So anyhow, after Scott Lambie, who do we have?
Well, no, I want to ask you, how what was it like for you being on the host side of things? Because you're usually behind the scenes running everything else.
Yeah.
How was hosting?
Well, it depends on the topic. Some topics are not like a smiley all the time kind of topic, right?
Or we keep smiling, it's awkward.
or you get a locked jaw.
Who got, yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow. Yeah, it's interesting.
Sometimes a little nerve-wracking, but when you're done, you do get I get tired.
Yeah. For me, I like to shoot from the hip. It will probably come across a little bit more less restrictive, but also less polished. So I don't know if that works well with some audience or not.
Many podcasts are very shoot from the hip.
Yeah. For people I know, less preparation since I already know. You do a good job preparing and kind of dig, even read their book. Did you read from cover to cover for Carolyn?
Not cover to cover, but...
But almost. So after Scott Lambie, what do we have?
Is it Michelle Steiner?
Yes, it is Michelle Steiner. You interview her, so tell us your experience and what you thought.
Michelle Steiner, if you didn't know that she has, I guess, dealt with learning disability her whole life, you wouldn't have known. Because she's well-spoken and very lovely, but she had dyscalculia. There's different ways to say it, but it's basically a problem with math. It's like dyslexia with numbers. And sometimes I wonder if I have that a little bit, because math is not my thing. But just the way she dealt with it and how she shared about the stigma of using accommodations that was afforded to her. So there's a problem when you don't have access to accommodation. There's another problem when it's there, but you're afraid to use it. Because she says other students thinking that she's cheating. She has an unfair advantage. You know, it's kind of hard when you're telling somebody who has learning disability that she has an unfair advantage. So she didn't use it for a while until she realized she really needed it. So I thought it's a very good reminder for those of us who, you know, you can talk about any kind of issue. It doesn't have to be learning disability. People offer you help. A lot of times, say, oh, don't, it's okay, we don't need it because, you know, was it pride or whatever? Mm-hmm. We don't use it, but sure it's helpful, right?
Mm-hmm. What's really cool also is, you know, in spite of her disability, she now was able to take on and pursue her passion and discover an area where she's not only not disabled, she thrives and does very well, which is
photography.
Photography, mm-hmm. right? She sold her pictures.
So yes, because of her learning disability, it affects some of her direction and her motor skills on, you know, so she can't drive. And when you can't drive, sometimes you have to walk to places, or you're on the passenger side where you can spend the time and look at the flowers and look at the details of the flowers. So she then took pictures, and her friends commented, it's like, wow, this is, I never noticed certain aspects of flowers, or you picked up on things I would never pick up because we whizzed by.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about in episode 0 about stop and smell the roses,
mm-hmm.
and really enjoy the details, and we don't do that enough. So her photography, because of her being on foot or being, you know, on the passenger side, allows her to do that. And she's sharing a story about how she happened to take a really neat picture of an angel, and a friend says, this is really cool. So she submitted for a contest and won.
What's your thought?
Yeah, I'm just trying to still wrap around my head about the disadvantage that she could turn into advantage to her. Maybe I'm trying to discover my disadvantage and turn it into advantage.
You know, that's a great thought.
That's the whole point, to see that it can be done. Mm-hmm.
So I think after Michelle Steiner, then we had Bree Dollar. Now that one is a tough one to cover. So imagine you're a 17-year-old, you learn that you have leukemia. You know, nowadays people kind of have the notion that leukemia is easily survivable. Granted, the medical technology certainly has advanced. I mean, our mom died of leukemia. So we were on the receiving end of that in the past when we were little. But seeing the 17-year-old to go through that, and she basically lost her in childhood. She spent it all in the hospital twice. The first time, she did not come into full remission because 6 months later, it came back. The second time around, the prospect of dying really began to hit her. When she's seeing a dozen of her friends
that she met,
the other fellow patients suffering, going through the same thing, dying. So she has a bit of a survivor's guilt. So there's a lot of question about life in general, suffering. I mean, listening to her describing all the different conditions, the side effects that she went through, it's challenging enough. But there's also that mental struggle. Actually, while she, as a patient, her doctor decided that she needed a bone marrow transplant. Mm-hmm. And she did not know about this whole process. The doctor just went online and contacted Gift for Life, which is a donor registration organization.
Bone marrow registry.
I believe they also do blood donations. They found her two donors. First donor declined to help. Second donor did. My mental picture of bone marrow transplant has always been, oh, you had to go to the hospital. They put you to sleep a little bit and stick a needle. No, I was thinking stick a needle in your spine and pull.
Oh, I thought it was hip or something. See,
well, you know, that's when you say bone
either
marrow.
Way, either way, either way.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, but it turned out it is sticking to through your hip.
Hip, okay.
Yeah, because your pelvic bone had
more
bone marrow. But still, you still have to get up and travel somewhere, basically stay a couple of days and then recover. About a year later, she was notified that, hey, do you want to meet your donor? The organization have to talk to both of them, and they both have to consent. They both consented, and they met at a hockey game. And they kept in the dark until at the very end, to the point when they actually met. So they got along great. Tony Joe, that's his name, he actually worked in the pharmaceutical business, helping developing medicines, help other conduct clinical trials. So I thought that was pretty cool. Not only was he's walking the talk, right? So not only is he doing the job, he's doing it to help others.
Yeah.
But the end result is, so she's in remission now, but it's still no cakewalk. It's still a lot of side effects that she has to deal with.
Sure.
But she is very glad she has a second chance on life. Mm-hmm. And she's making the best of it. So she is studying hospital administration.
Something she knows a little bit about.
You know a little bit about. Right? Exactly.
And she's also very active in promoting blood donation.
Blood donation. She won an award. She like enlisted 300 donors and won a special recognition for that. Mm. So best wish to her, and we hope to stay in touch with her.
Yeah. Well, you know, with Bree, after all that you said, one thing that reminded me, because I, you know, my profession's in the healthcare industry, the medical care team is like family to people who have to stay, patients who have to stay a long time. And they, Bree shared that she had to miss her prom, and they helped to put a little prom together for her. And hats off to our medical care teams around the world, because what you do and how you show your compassion to the patients, not only to care for their health needs, but to just being there for them, means a world to them.
That's, she mentioned that those are the fun memory, you know. It's hard to imagine you going through all of that cancer treatment. You can find joy, but those are the joy that she was able to experience in her life.
You notice when she talked about who her friends, people that's active in her life at that time, were patient friends and healthcare workers.
Yes.
Because that's their universe for a period of time.
So, you know, just very glad that she is able to now reconnect with the greater community and reintegrate into the society and able to tell her story. So we're just glad to help to tell that story.
And she has a cute disposition, even though she went through so much.
She's a go-getter young lady. I can feel that. I mean, she's out there, you know, driving and things like that.
We're cheering for you, Bree.
Yeah. What's next? Who do we have?
I think after Bree is Carolyn.
Carolyn
recent Deck.
Mm-hmm. And that's an episode that we haven't publish it at the time.
So it's a preview.
Preview, or maybe, well, we'll see. Maybe you already know, but Carolyn Deck, go ahead.
So Carolyn is an author. I want to also say she's a teacher, okay? Because she has experienced a lot in her life, and she has a little bit of a rough childhood. As we kind of said in the episode, it's unfortunately a little bit commonplace when you have a broken family. How Carolyn choose to deal with her childhood trauma and how what she has learned in her life and also through her profession as a travel agent. She basically put what she learned, how she deals with pain and how she makes choices in life and how to use the past trials and instead of let that continue to be, you know, shrapnels and sharp, you know, things that hurt her. She used that to help her heal and have lessons learned. Yeah. So her book is interesting. It's called Above the Turbulence, Rise Above the Pain Through Purpose. You hear it's a lot of the turbulence. It's a lot of travel related analogies in there. She provides life lessons through some of the analogies. And in a sneak peek, it's like, you know, you see a lot of people with their Beats or noise-canceling headphones. And she talks about how, you know, there's a lot of noise out there and how you can tune some of these things out and not let it attack you unnecessarily.
And tune into the right channel.
And tune into the right channel. Make sure your playlist is good.
Yeah, so we talked about, you know, we have a shared mission of telling good news. Yeah. That's why it makes, you know, she's such a compelling guest to have on the show.
Yeah, and also her proceeds all go to Faces with Names.
That's right.
It's a non-for-profit organization that helps widows and orphans in, I think, Uganda. And you have to tune in how she and the founder of those two organizations connected. And it's amazing connection. So you need to tune in for that.
Yeah, we had a lot of African connections ourselves.
I was just telling him that today.
Yeah, how many did you count?
Four. Right?
So far, yeah.
At least four so far.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there will be more. African is a country that really is coming, rejoining the modern society of the world. There are a lot of people hungry for, you know, good news, for the word of God.
It seems like they emit good news too, just because of their simplicity and their joy in simplicity.
For Scott Lambie's episode, I purposely picked Africa as a country to advertise in. And I have more feedback on the episode from Africa than from anywhere else. It's a country where people are hungry. Mm-hmm. All right. Then, and just recently, we finished our first recording of Hello World.
On location.
Sorry, on location. And what that means is all of the equipment that you see around us all got packed up into boxes, shipped on the truck to the location. And we interviewed the person. We set up, literally recreated the studio on the fly. So our guest, you're the interviewer, and our guest is Val Lewis.
I want to say something else before we introduce Val. What I love about being the host on location is once we got out of the truck, you said, Val and Lily, y'all can't break a sweat.
That's
so
right.
We went inside. And y'all two had to do the hard work.
Because we don't have a makeup team to keep you. We don't have a makeup team.
And I totally
maybe
forgot.
That would be in the future, and we'll put you to work when we have that.
I totally forgot to even bring any. So, but that was like, Val, let's go inside.
Yeah, she took full advantage of it.
I loved it.
I saw that. Yeah.
So yeah, we met Val Lewis, and he is a jazz artist. He songwrites, he composes, he arranges music, he's an educator, he's an organist, he's everything. His music can be heard in shows like Friends.
Friends are my daughter's favorite show.
I know, right? Mad About You, that's more like or Sopranos, you know, just really neat. And he went on tour for 3 years with Dionne Warwick. Val was so lovely. And we got to meet his wife, Ada.
Ada.
And they're just such a lovely, easygoing.
Yeah.
Kind people, yeah. and probably that's why we stay there quite a long time.
And didn't get chased out.
And didn't get chased out. Thank you for being patient, because it was our first on location. But Val's, his organization, F2F, Faith to Form, they raise money to provide instruments. He wants to put instruments into hands of disadvantaged students who wants to learn music. And since music's such a passion of his and is so important for humanity, you know, and for our health and wellness and mm-hmm. everything else and mm-hmm. and learning, yeah, he has that organization. So we got to learn about him and how I learned about a little bit about how music work and like, and how does it get into the TV? How do you write songs? And mm-hmm. and then we got to hear some of his music.
Mm-hmm.
What's
and
it called?
He sings too.
And he sings
not
too.
Just playing, he sings.
What do you call his music?
Groove jazz.
I first said groovy jazz. He goes, no, Lily, it's groove.
Just groove.
Just groove.
He's one of those cool customer, you know, not cool cat.
He's cool. He want to be cool. That was one of the songs.
I don't think he needs to be want to. He's just like, he exhibits
he's
cool.
He's just cool.
Right?
His voice, just his speaking voice is smooth.
Soothing.
Yeah.
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 It was interesting trying to set up, you know, how do I do the video shoot, make sure that coolness come across to give that kind of jazz nightclub feel, even though it's broad daylight.
So one thing I have to tell the audience, although most of the episode, you know, I'd be interviewing, right? But really, all the details, like these color lights, the ambiance, he was making sure I want some blue lights on the piano keys, you know, like, you know, your attention to those details and then how you edit at the end to piece the stories together is a lot of BTS, behind the scenes work.
Well, you know, when you shoot something, you always want to have a vision, you know, so, okay, well, this is the subject matter and that's the person, the audience, when they watch it, how do I want them to feel? Okay, what does it need to look like to feel that?
You even told me how to dress. What did you say?
Oh, you got to dress jazzy, okay? Make sure you dress a little jazzy.
I have to dress jazzy. What
no
is
business
that?
Suit. No business suit.
No business suit, no t-shirts. Yeah. I have to dress jazzy. So you can see how jazzy I got.
Yeah. And yeah, it was a lot of assembly, and James helped out a lot. You know, just a lot of tying things together, taking it down, you know, putting it up. They're, you know, I can tell people are a little bit more patient because they're waiting for what the interview that comes, right? But once the interview is over, boy, we need to hurry to really
get out.
They don't have to say it, but I can feel it.
You know, no. They were very gracious.
They hung around and talked a lot, yeah. You know, with us and yes. Learned a lot about them. Great couple. Really enjoyed the time.
So, you know, another thing that's really cool, maybe we may be able to go, at least buy a ticket to go in and watch the music festival that they're putting together. And students from our area middle school will be able to play there and some other musicians along with Dionne Warwick. And the ticket sales is part of the fundraising for instruments.
Yeah, imagine, imagine like you have talent, but that talent can never manifest itself without going through these instruments, and you can't afford it. That, by definition, is a waste of talent. Mm-hmm. And I think his job is to help discover, you know, help people realize, or at least try to discover their talent by putting an instrument in their hand.
Yeah.
I think that's such a, you know, wonderful endeavor. And, our kids play instrument. You know, my daughter, Kristen, playing the band. She got pretty good at it, but you know, she would never find out if she didn't have the instrument in her hand. You know, like you said in the interview, you have to give it back. So you never have it in your hand all the time to make it part of you. So it's hard to become good at it if it's not yours. Mm-hmm. So he put the instrument in the kid's hand.
Yes, and that helps level the playing field, you know, for those who have instrument versus who do not, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He shared a story about connecting a super talent for further training.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
But he didn't, because of the actual interview, it was more of a bridge version. Mm-hmm. Okay, but this is the amazing, the power of networking. Not just networking, but just for him to recognize a particular young man who is like a piano virtuoso. So good. He was pondering what he would do after graduating from high school. And he did want to go on to music. And Faust knew that he was such a talent. He reached out to a few maestros in Italy. And they were able to go visit them. Okay? And they all were amazed by his talent. Mm. And he now will be leaving to go study music in Italy. Mm. It's through the recognition of talent, doing something about it, connecting them, and then these folks, hopefully, that they did something about it too. Yeah. See that connection of...
Yeah, and I think you asked the question, you know, who influenced him the most, right? And he was able to recite and remember the people in his life that taught him. And he said, in the same way, you know, I wish to be remembered by the people that I helped, the student that I helped, like the one you just mentioned, that they will remember me like that. Mm-hmm. And I can certainly see that, because what he did was a life-changing. So, well, anyhow, that was a great episode. A lot of firsts, and also it's a very uplifting and positive and fun experience. I think the viewer, tune in, please tune in. You're gonna miss a lot if you don't. It's gonna be a great episode. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and Val gonna perform as part of the podcast.
I have the best seat. I was piano side.
Yeah, there you go. Now, I also want to just put in an important plug for the foundation's upcoming concert. I think it's in February. Mm-hmm. Definitely go. Please go help those kids. Especially if you're in Sugar Land, go and really help the children here. If you're able to afford instrument, that's great. Great for you, great for your children. But there are families that have talents that would not be able to afford the expensive instruments. They need your help. And what a great way to help people and watch a talent that was hidden now is polish and shine and with the instrument in their hand. Mm-hmm. And you're part of it. Mm-hmm. So definitely go.
Definitely.
All right. Well, that's that takes us up today. And we have some upcoming pipeline of guests we're about to do some recordings on. You remember some of them?
I know I'm going to be eating soon.
Sushi?
We will have a special culinary episode by a self-made sushi chef with a story to tell. I don't think we can give away too much more.
That's it.
That's it. And also, along that line, we have a special guest that friend of ours who will be leading us through some line dance. And they say, well, what's the good in that? Well, fitness is good. That's number one. Two is she exemplifies volunteering.
And, selflessness.
Selflessness. And you really want to tune in and listen to her story, because I think we will be inspired to really want to get out there and roll up our sleeve and participate in, you know, various nonprofit.
She lives up to her last name.
What is it?
Go.
Go.
Go. She's always go. On the go. And Eva has always been like the cool kid, you know?
Yeah.
She has a swagger, so I can't wait for y'all to meet her.
Yeah. So there are several other that are still in the works. Again, we mentioned we're going to talk to Scott Lambie and Sarah Lambie again.
For Rescue That's One More.
For Rescue One More. Tune in to listen to that. I think there's maybe some other that we're working on, but definitely tune in. You never know who we're going to run into. Sometimes we run into somebody like tomorrow, and we have to shoot it right away, and the episode order may change. Yeah. But we're always on the lookout for good content, uplifting story, things that will change our mind and change our lives.
Just like our friend Terry referred us to Val, if you guys have anybody that you want us to talk to, drop us a line. What's the email they should send it to?
Well, send it to helloworld777gn@gmail.com.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. We have a lot of fun putting the episodes together, trying to bring you quality guests and good content so that we can inspire each of us to be our best version of ourselves. It would mean so much to us if you would subscribe to our channel and like our videos. Hope to see you next time.